Do you remember the very first movie that really scared you as a kid? Ugh, for me, it was Bambi. I know, a Disney classic, right? But that scene where Bambi's mother dies, I was not ready for that. Were you? I remember clutching my popcorn, eyes wide, feeling like the world was suddenly a lot more uncertain than I had realized. I know. It's traumatic, right? Looking back, it's clear why that moment hit me so hard. Up until then, the only thing I'd ever seen was G-rated, right? Talking animals, silly songs, guaranteed happy endings. But Bambi? Ugh, that was like a crash course in reality TV for preschoolers. Suddenly, it wasn't all about sharing your toys. It was about surviving the forest. My word. Yes, I'm still working through it. And don't even get me started on The Wizard of Oz. Mercy. Goodness. I still, to this day, have those images in my head from when I was 8, maybe 9 years old. I was at my Aunt Carolyn's house when she was showing it. Oh my word. Yeah, sure. Here's a story about a little girl and her cute little dog. And then wham, a tornado. And then houses falling on people. And then flying monkeys? Bananas. I mean, what the what? While I was too young to comprehend or even articulate it then, some part of me knew I wasn't quite ready to grapple with the heavier stuff, especially flying monkeys. Come on. But the funny thing is, I've been thinking a lot about this. How, just like movies, the information that we consume, it has ratings, right? There's the G-rated content of our everyday lives, the laughter of our loved ones, the smell of the morning coffee. Then there are the PG and PG-13 stories, right? The news of a friend's illness, or maybe a community that's just grappling with just some injustice or something that's just egg, right? And of course, then there is the R-rated stuff, the global catastrophes, the senseless acts of violence that just make you just scratch your head in confusion, right? The thing is, in this digital age, we are constantly bombarded with content across the rating spectrum. Often, a lot of times, without even warning, you're scrolling through, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I didn't want to see that. It's like we're sitting down for a lighthearted Pixar flick, and then suddenly we're in the middle of a gritty war documentary, right? Our nervous systems, they're not always prepared for those jarring shifts. One minute we're scrolling through cute puppy pics on Instagram, and then the next we're hit with a graphic news story about a mass shooting or something. It's like this emotional whiplash, right? Our hearts are just pulled from the sweet simplicity of a child's giggle to the gut-wrenching complexity of systemic injustice, all in the span of a few thumb swipes. And while it's certainly important to stay engaged with the world's struggles and to keep our eyes and our hearts open to the pain of others, I have a question that I've really been just chewing through recently. Hear me out. Let me ask. I wonder if we're taking in more than we were ever meant to handle. Our ancestors didn't have to grapple with the suffering of entire continents over their morning coffee. They weren't exposed to the raw, uncensored realities of war and famine and exploitation before their first yawn of the day. But now, with the world's tragedies constantly at our fingertips, it's all too easy to just drown in a sea of despair before we even get out of bed. We can feel the weight of the world's pain pressing down on our chest, making it hard to breathe, hard to remember that there's still beauty and goodness worth savoring, even. Of course, it's important to recognize that not everyone has the same level of control over their media exposure. For some, the R-rated content, that's their daily reality. It's not just a headline or just something on social media. The ability to create our media diet or focus on our personal joys is, in itself, a privilege that not everyone has equal access to. So how do we do this? How do we create strategies to care for our well-being while staying connected to the world around us? I mean, how can we find that balance? How can we honor our own humanity, even as we work to ease the suffering of others? Because at the end of the day, I'm left thinking, and have been for a while, the fact that we were never meant to know everything, everywhere, every moment. So today I want to explore how to stay engaged and empathetic in this 24/7 news cycle world while still making space for the G-rated moments that make life worth living. Let's find out. I'm Chad Lawson, and let's calm it down in 3, 2, 1. I want to be clear. Creating awareness of global issues, it's important. Injustice thrives in darkness, and simply noticing the pain of others is often the first step towards creating some change, right? We see a need that tugs in our heart and we jump. We are all in. We're like, we have to do something, right? And that's the power of awareness, especially globally. And I so admire the activists and the journalists and just ordinary people who work really hard to make sure that the struggles of marginalized communities are recognized. Because of them, we're able to pull together support for communities affected by war. We're able to take action on climate change and collect donations for famine relief. Our ability to connect with each other across the globe is so incredible, especially when it inspires us to show compassion and work together for a better world. But for many of us, the constant stream of distressing news can feel overwhelming. I've looked it up, and there's even a name that psychologists have given this, and it's headline stress disorder. That fits it perfectly. It's the experience of feeling anxious or depressed or emotionally drained by the massive volume of traumatic events in the media. And it's super common. I mean, one study found that 1 in 4 adults reported experiencing significant stress related to following the news. 1 in 4 is tremendous, right? It's probably more, to be honest. But the trouble is, our brains aren't wired process tragedy on a global scale 24/7. For most of human history, we lived in smaller circles, right? We focused on the immediate needs of our community. A crisis meant a sick neighbor or a local flood, right? Something that we could directly respond to. But now we're faced with daily catastrophes far beyond our individual control, right? It's like having a tornado siren blaring nonstop in our heads, warning us of threats that we can't do anything about. And over time, that kind of emotional whiplash really wears on you. It's no wonder so many of us are walking around feeling anxious and overwhelmed, or honestly, just numb. We're not built to live in a constant state of red alert. So what can we do? How do we balance caring for the world's pain while protecting our own peace of mind? Well, I think that one way is to be really intentional about our media consumption. And just like we wouldn't let a kid binge on violent movies all day, we need to be mindful of our own information diet, right? I mean, that might mean setting the limits on our own doom scrolling or balancing the heavy content with stories of everyday heroes and moments of progress. But the goal isn't to ignore reality. It's not what I'm saying, but to find a sustainable rhythm of engaging and stepping back to recharge. I'm going to say that again. I'm not trying to ignore reality, but I am trying to find that balance of engaging and also stepping back when I need to recharge, right? Think of it like eating a balanced meal. You wouldn't feed your body nothing but junk food, right? Well, I mean, unless you're in college. But the same goes for your mind. I mean, a steady stream of alarming headlines and heartbreaking images, it's like emotional fast food. It might give you a quick jolt, but it doesn't nourish you in the long run. So what does a healthy information diet look like? And it's different for everyone, but here are a few ideas that I kind of wrote down. The first is to set some boundaries around when and how often you check the news. Maybe that means no doom scrolling first thing in the morning or right before bed. Give yourself permission to disconnect and focus on the present moment. I'm going to say that again. Give yourself permission to disconnect and focus on the present moment. And then also, create your social media feeds to include a mix of things, right? Things that inform, things that inspire, things that lift you up. Follow accounts that regularly share stories of golden retrievers or hydrangeas or maybe a dash of baking cookie tutorials. And go ahead and throw in some everyday heroes in there too, if you want. But for every piece of heavy news you consume, find a story of hope, a reminder of the good in the world, right? Could be as simple as watching a heartwarming animal video or reading about a local community coming together to solve a problem. But be mindful of what you watch. What you eat, you digest. What you eat, you digest. And I'm not meaning just food. Before clicking on a headline, check in with yourself. Is this information I need right now? Be honest. How do I want to feel after reading or watching this? And am I in the right headspace to even process this? Remember, you don't need to be plugged in 24/7 to be an engaged citizen. In fact, constantly refreshing your feeds can leave you feeling overwhelmed and burnt out. And that doesn't help anyone. It is okay to step away from where you need to recharge. Go for a walk, call a friend, lose yourself in a great book. Fill your cup so you can come back to the world's challenges with a clearer head and a more resilient heart. Because the key is to be proactive, not reactive, right? So instead of letting the news cycle throw you around emotionally, take back the reins. Choose what you let in and when. Engage, but know when to disengage. I'm going to say that again, even for myself. Engage, but know when to disengage. And here's the thing I want to mention. This isn't about turning a blind eye to suffering. I'm going to say this repeatedly throughout this episode. This is not about turning a blind eye to suffering. It's about staying grounded so you can respond to that suffering more effectively. When we are in a constant state of reacting, we're more likely to burn out or shut down altogether. But when we care for our own well-being, we're better able to show up for others in a sustainable way. All right, just a quick inhale, quick exhale. Speaking of caring for our well-being, I want to take a moment to talk about our physical health. Just like we need to be intentional about our media consumption, we also need to be proactive about our healthcare. Everybody is so unique, so shouldn't our healthcare be that way too? I mean, whenever I visited a traditional medical office, I felt rushed and treated like any other patient, right? Given generic advice that I can often take with a grain of salt before doing my own research, I really started wondering about this approach and decided to look for other options for a more personalized healthcare experience, which is why I'm super excited to introduce to you today's sponsor, Wild Health. Guys, listen in. This is really a tremendous group. It was founded by two emergency room physicians. Wild Health takes a very proactive and preventative approach to healthcare. It's called precision medicine. They use your genetics, your biometrics, and your lifestyle data to help you determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and more, so you can function at your best now and in the long run. Want to hear something crazy? Wild Health can determine if you have elevated levels that can contribute to a wide range of current or potential issues. Everything from brain fog or drowsiness during your busy workday, to microbiome and gut health issues, to indicators for diabetes, pre-diabetes, the list is incredible. And the thing is, once identified, 89% of Wild Health patients showed improvement with these changes. 89%. That is the kind of info that you're going to get with Wild Health. So whether you have a specific health goal like weight loss or body composition or improved energy or just broadly want to optimize your health and prevent diseases, Wild Health tailors a care plan with lifestyle-first interventions rather than pills and prescriptions, right? In the simplest sense, they want you to live longer. Maybe you're a slow caffeine metabolizer and need to avoid that afternoon cup. Or perhaps high-intensity interval training workouts are actually doing your body more harm than good. Or you might just learn that avoiding old-fashioned dairy or gluten is entirely unnecessary. This is a type of insight that you are going to get with Wild Health. So to help you implement your individual care plan, Wild Health pairs each person with a care team consisting of a board-certified precision medicine physician and accredited health coach who you can message anytime through their app. It's incredible. Plus, Wild Health is fully virtual via telemedicine, and it's available everywhere in the United States. Wild Health is generously extending Calm It Down listeners 20% off the cost of membership with the code CALM, C-A-L-M. Head over to wildhealth.com/calm and use the code CALM at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself. I want you to live longer. I want you to feel amazing. I want you to listen to this podcast and leave reviews and drop me emails and say hello and send me photos of you and your family and your cookies and all this stuff. So I want you to live longer, and Wild Health can help you do that. 20% off the cost of membership, wildhealth.com/calm, C-A-L-M. Okay, getting back to things. Just like we need to be mindful of our media diet for our mental health, we also need to be proactive about our physical health. Because when we feel our best physically, we're better equipped to handle the emotional challenges that come our way. So it's important to focus our efforts where we can to make the most impact. We can't single-handedly solve every global crisis, but we can contribute to causes that really resonate deeply within us. Recently, I went off on a tangent with a friend about something that's super heartstrings important to me. And I just kept saying, we have to fix this. We have to help. We have to help. To which she calmly said, Chad, you can't help everyone. I cried. I have to be honest. I cried. Not because she was wrong, but because she was right. But what I did take from this was I may not be able to help everyone, but I can try to bring some hope to someone, even if that's just one person. So for you, maybe that's mentoring a struggling teen. Maybe that's supporting a local women's shelter or advocating for more green spaces in your neighborhood, right? When we channel our care into specific, tangible actions, we are less likely to feel paralyzed by the world's vastness, right? Of how big and just complex and impossible it seems. I know I use this analogy a lot, but I think of this like tending a garden, right? You wouldn't expect a single patch of soil to grow every type of plant, right? You would focus on nurturing the seeds that are most suited with your climate and with your resources and just with your attention and care. Well, the same goes for what we are passionate about and helping. We're not meant to address every issue under the sun. That is a recipe for being overwhelmed and burnout. Instead, We can lean into the causes that really tug at our heartstrings, the ones that make us come alive with purpose. Maybe for you, that's volunteering at a local animal shelter or joining a beach cleanup crew, right? Maybe it's donating to organizations that support refugee families or just writing letters to your representatives about issues that really matter to you. The key is to get specific and to start small, right? Break down those big, daunting global problems into bite-sized actions that you can take right where you are. When we zoom in on the slice of the world, we can directly impact our families, our neighborhoods, our local communities. We start to see glimmers of progress, and that can give us the hope and the momentum to keep going, even when the big picture feels bleak. And then finally, I want to bring a spotlight to something quite often overlooked: caring for ourselves. Caring for ourselves is not selfish. It's an act of preserving ourselves. We cannot pour from an empty cup. You hear that, right? You cannot pour from an empty cup. So alongside our passions, we need to prioritize what nourishes our spirits. For some, that's a walk in nature or a heart-to-heart with a friend. And for others, it's a few minutes of stillness in a busy day or a comforting ritual like, I don't know, making coffee or brewing tea. But the key is to notice what makes you feel centered, right? And to make time for those moments of G-rated goodnesses that I like to call. And that looks different for everyone, and that's okay, because self-care isn't about fancy spa days. It's about tending to yourself so you can keep showing up for the long haul. And here's the beautiful thing. When we live with presence and compassion in our own corner of the world, we send out ripples. Every smile shared, every meal offered, every listening ear is small, but mighty. It is. As Mr. Rogers famously said, when scary things are happening, look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. What if we saw ourselves as the helpers? Not just in the big ways, but in the everyday parts of kindness. So here's my challenge for you this week. Take an honest look at your media consumption and notice how it's impacting your nervous system. When you feel yourself getting caught in that cycle of despair, can you gently redirect to something that feeds you hope? Make space for both the world's struggles and your own simple joys. They can coexist. And then pick one cause that tugs at your heartstring, and then brainstorm one way that you can meaningfully contribute. Doesn't have to be a grand gesture. Doesn't have to be anything very noble or just, you know, big to do, but just small actions. Because small actions, when done with love, they have a way of rippling outwards. Focus your light there and trust that it matters. And during all of this, don't forget to savor the sweet G-rated stuff, the silly jokes, the throwing a ball with a pet, or that perfect bite of something delicious. Those moments are not wasted. They're little lifelines, right? They keep you connected to what's good in life. But caring about the world and also caring about your life, they don't have to be on the opposite ends. In fact, they're actually pretty intertwined. So this week, be gentle with yourself as you find your way through all of this. Remember that you're human just as much as I am, right? And we're just doing our best that we can. So this week, be gentle with ourselves as we find our way through, remembering that we're all just human beings doing our messy, miraculous best. And as we close, I want to go back to Bambi really quick. How that moment of loss really cracked my young heart open, right? And I'm sure it may have done it to you as well. But that wasn't the whole story, if you remember. There was also the wonder of new friendships, and there was new young love, and even the forest found its renewal after a dark season. I'm not saying you should, you know, show it to every four-year-old, but it is a tale of life persisting, even in the middle of grief and hardship and just the realness of life. Our lives hold that same wild mix of light and shadow. We're guaranteed moments of G-rated beauty and R-rated pain. That is a guarantee. But the trick is to not let the darkness totally eclipse the light. To remember that for every grim statistic, there are countless quiet acts of kindness unfolding beyond the headlines. So be deliberate about the stories that we marinate in. Let's measure our exposure to the hard stuff and leave ample room for the good stuff. Let's keep choosing the pleasures and people that restore our souls, the laughs, the hugs, the sunsets, the giggles. Those moments are not a luxury. They are a lifeline. They are what give us strength to keep facing the world's troubles with an open heart. So please, of all times, be kind to your mind. Offer it a little more breathing room this week, a little more lightness to counterbalance the heaviness, a little more chocolate morsels than normal in the cookie of life. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for living, for being here, for caring so much. You are exactly the kind of soul this weary world needs more of. Someone committed to both justice and joy, to feeling it all and loving through it. Never doubt the power of the light that you carry. Do not. Keep letting it guide you. Keep letting it spill onto those around you. It's what will see us through. Until next time, be kind to your mind. Join me again as we calm it down. To find more episodes of Calm It Down, see where I may be appearing in your area, or to simply want to know where to send me some chocolate chip cookies, visit calmitdownpodcast.com. This podcast was written and produced by yours truly, Chad Lawson, composer, pianist, and nationally recognized Sweet Tooth. The views, expressions, and techniques in this episode are of my personal opinion and not intended, nor should they, serve as a substitute for medical advice or diagnosis rendered to you by your individual doctor or other healthcare provider. Only a licensed physician should evaluate your situation, provide a diagnosis, or render other medical advice to you. And you should only act upon the advice of this physician. Now, I'm an extreme empath by nature, but my profession is that of a composer and pianist, not a licensed therapist or physician. I hear from thousands of listeners how my music has helped them through various stages of emotional needs, and I simply want to offer this in future podcast episodes to aid those needs. So to find a list of licensed professionals in your area, please visit calmitdownpodcast.com. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review, or better yet, share it with a friend. While it takes less than 60 seconds to do, its impact will last for years to come, as every little bit helps in growing the awareness and the importance of mental and emotional health. Thank you for listening. Thank you for living. And until next time, be kind to your mind and join me again as we calm it down.